Are you ready, Steve? Andy?
Yeah!
Bert? Well, all right, fellas. Well, let's go!
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/CFRN. Over 85,000 titles. Choose from mystery, romance, religion, science, technology, business, New York Times bestsellers, even children's books. You name it, Audible has it. With 85,000 titles to choose from, you're sure to find the perfect audiobook for yourself or to give as a gift, and it's absolutely free. Just point your browser to audibletrial.com/CFRN. That's audibletrial.com/CFRN. And become a part of the audiobook revolution by downloading your free audiobook today. audibletrial.com/CFRN.
Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
Good afternoon, traders, and welcome back to the CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast. This is the daily broadcast of indeterminate length where we discuss all things E-Mini along with some really big ideas on the finer points of trading gold, bonds, crude, sugar, the euro, and even T-bills. Joining us today from our studios in Boston, Mr. Michael Bork. From our trading desk in Chicago, Mr. Burton Schlichter. And from our studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, Mr. David Williams. Now, to get things started, let's go to our host and founder in Studio A, overlooking South Mountain, America's largest city park. Here's Dwayne.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. Today is Thursday, first day of November 2012. The Dow up 142 points, S&P up 15, comp up 43, crude is up 77 cents a barrel, gold is down $2.60 an ounce. Well, in front of you on the chart is the S&P 500 E-mini futures. If by chance you're unable to see my chart, that means you are listening simply to the audio stream. If you, and that's fine, but if you would like to see the charts, if you would like to be able to participate in the discussion, ask questions, etc., you need to move from the radio stream to the video stream. You do that by going to the homepage of CFRN.net under the radio tower. Red, white, and blue button says click here. Click there. It will take you to a page where you'll be able to fill out a short registration form. It says watch live now. Good news, you fill that out, you won't have to fill it out again for another week. You'll have a live link that will get you into the radio show for the next week and a half. It's a very short registration, takes you 30 seconds to do, gives you a link, gets you in so that you can, again, not only hear what we're talking about, but see what we're talking about, because we do have live charts displayed along with our indicators, different markets, etc. So we invite you to join us that way. If you have a difficulty getting in, then send an email to support@cfrn.net. Or Bert is standing by to help you, toll free at 866-928-3310. All right, up on the big screen, what we've got is the hourly chart, the S&P 500 E-mini futures. Let's roll back to Sunday night. Here we go. Sunday night. We knew we had some bad mojo on the way. And based on our very simplest methodology, right here we were told to look for lower prices at 1406, and we boogied right on down as we headed into the hurricane to our weekly support at 1395.96 weekly trading zone. Then we were told to look for higher prices, which we got. Then we had a little Japanese candlestick action that said you're going to get some lower prices. We did, but not by much. The market had some very bullish momentum to it, pushed it right up into the weekly trading zone at 1416.17. We rolled sideways there for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 hours. That's when we rolled over and got our signal to look for lower prices, which we got all the way back down to the weekly trading zone at 1404/05. Over here, you'll see that the market consolidated for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 hours before making this move. That's typically what we see at a weekly trading zone. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 hours. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 hours. Is it always five? No. Sometimes it's two, sometimes three. Pick a number. But there will be some consolidation at that area. As we came back down, and we were closing out yesterday's radio program on this candle here, I had drawn this line on the chart. Our CFMA1, which is the backbone of our indicator set, it was overhead and falling. And I drew this line to intersect with this. See, this was an important area right here. It was the previous swing low from the overnight session. And that price was 1407.75. So I drew this line across here because I knew that's where the CFMA1 would intersect. I said, and I drew this circle. I said, watch, guys. Once price runs up and hits this area, because we've got a confluence of things coming together, watch for price to get rejected. And did it get rejected? It did. From a high of 1409 and a quarter in that 1 hour, all the way down to 1401.75. Pretty good move back down. In fact, it pushed it right through the weekly zone. No consolidation. What does that mean? It means chances are we're going to go back there and consolidate a bit. We did. For 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 hours. This also was our first indication to look for higher prices. But we knew we had an overhead obstacle that we would have to get through first. So what did we do? We went, we banged our head on that weekly trading zone, came back down, got a firm footing on what is now a blue CFMA1, which is below us and climbing, and away we go up into where we are right here, right now, trading at 1422.25. Michael will in a moment go over the daily recap of what transpired in the live e-mini trading room. If you've not taken our free trial, let me be the first to encourage you today to do that. It is absolutely free, no credit card required. Just your name, your email address. Come in, hang out for a full week, see what we do, how we trade, how we make bad jokes, and download our platform, and use our free data, and install our proprietary indicators and actually use them for 5 trading days. Now, today's Thursday, you're thinking, not a great day to take a free trial. I'll only get tomorrow. Not true. Tomorrow will count as day one. You'll have the entire weekend to play around with the platform, and then you'll get another full 4 days next week in the live trading room. There's no credit card required. As far as I know, we're the only people who give you everything we have, every tool, everything, for a full week to use around the clock before you make an investment decision as to whether or not this is right for you. So we extend that opportunity because we believe in what we have. We want you to be able to make an intelligent investment decision. At the end of your free trial, that's why we hold nothing back. We give you everything we have for the full week. Now, what is potentially good news for potheads in America is an absolute nightmare for the drug lords in Mexico. Voters in Washington, Colorado, and Oregon will decide on Tuesday whether to legalize recreational pot use. Now, we know California has medicinal pot use, Arizona has the thing got all messed up here. It got voted in, but then there were some lawsuits, and so the dispensaries never opened. There's about, I think, 13 states that now have medicinal marijuana laws on the books. This is the first time a state has, well, it may not be the first time they've looked at it, but that it's considered to be a serious contender on the ballot. Now, we're talking Washington, which is a forward-thinking state, Colorado and Oregon. By forward-thinking, I'm not endorsing this particular referendum or legislation. I'm saying it is they are known to be progressive states, Oregon in particular. Now, the difference between this and what we've seen in the past with the quote-unquote winky-wink medicinal marijuana, I know I got a friend in California. She has a card. And I said, so what was your diagnosis that you got the card? And she couldn't sleep at night, or she had pain in her shoulder. And so it's like, I don't know. I mean, I have someone here in Phoenix who has access to medical marijuana. She had a brain injury, and she said it really helps her. Now, to me, a brain injury, smoking some pot, probably not a great combination, but she says it gives her quality of life. She's been smoking pot for the last 40 years, so I don't know which came first, the injury or the pot, but some people say it really helps. But the whole thing done in California, and in I think many states, is somewhat farcical in that you pay a doctor $100 to get the card, then you go to the dispensary to buy the pot. So what they're doing in these other states is they're saying enough with the foolishness. We're going to just legalize it for recreational use. It's going to become a controlled industry, a growth industry, and we're going to tax it. And we're going to whack out the black market drug lords. Now, they say that this is going to be a huge blow to the cartels because they make nearly $6 billion a year from drug trafficking. This is according to the Rand Corporation, who had the courage to go down and survey these drug lords. I don't know. Maybe they just asked their accountants. But opponents to legalizing pot say that drug cartels will just turn right around and set up business fronts in the U.S. and they'll sell legal marijuana to make up for their lost profits. Okay, if I'm not mistaken, that's kind of the point of this law, is that the government will be able to tax this activity that is going to go on. Come on, since Woodstock, anybody that wanted to smoke pot was going to smoke pot. And you all know, you've heard my story. I used to be a smoker. I'm not a smoker anymore. Haven't been for a very long time. But it's a lifestyle choice for many. It is done on the black market. Our jails, our prisons, are filled with a lot of nonviolent offenders who got caught with a little bit of weed in the wrong state. In one state, it's a citation. In another state, it's a jail sentence. In fact, we have people serving some very lengthy prison sentences because of this law. So whether you agree with smoking pot or not, and again, I'm not endorsing it at all, I'm simply saying I think the time has come that we look at this a little more realistically. And certainly, if the money is going to be spent, let's do it out in the open, not in the shadow economy on the black market, where we cannot exact our tax revenues to improve our schools, improve our roads, and make sure the meat we buy at the grocery store is safe to eat. If you need gas in your car in New Jersey, you got a problem. More than 1,000 New Jersey gas stations are unable to sell fuel due to power outages and delivery problems, according to one of the state gas station associations. What's happening is there's difficulty getting supply from the pipeline to the distribution centers, to the trucks, to the gas stations. The final hurdle, the last mile, as they say, is getting it into the car. Many stations have gas but no power to pump the gas. And those who have power have already ran out of fuel. Now, the gas lines are pretty long. A lot of them over a mile long. 150 cars are a very common sight across the state. People are waiting in line up to 3 hours to get gas. And if you're in New Jersey and you're trying to get some gas, whip out your smartphone, pull over, don't text and drive, pull over, whip out your smartphone, open your Twitter app, and search NJGas, hashtag NJGas, and that will update you on who closest to you actually has some gas and some electricity that they can use to pump that gas into your car. How soon will the subways be back up and running? The Brooklyn Battery Tunnel has 43 million gallons of water that they are attempting to pump out. Now, the mayor said he's going to let everybody ride the bus for free for a couple days until they can get the... It's still a mess there. It is a huge mess. Speaking of huge messes, Rasmussen out with new numbers today. I don't know, a week ago I said that Rasmussen said Mitt Romney held a comfortable 4-point lead over President Barack Obama. No longer so comfortable. It has been reduced to a 2-point lead. Obama's approval rating in the polls stood at 49%, which is considered below the safe level of 50% that typically precludes an incumbent's re-election. As we draw closer to this election, and again, we have no notification that it is going to not go off as planned, but they could pull the plug at the last moment. Now, I don't know how many of you follow Rush Limbaugh. He's a man you either love or hate, or a man you love to hate. But he really lit into Chris Christie yesterday, and I know that some people on this radio program came out in defense of Christie and says, hey, you know, this guy's just concerned and passionate about his people. I agree. Here's what Limbaugh had to say. He called him a Greek column for the Obama re-election campaign, and he did a pretty good Photoshop of making Christie a Greek column. According to Rush, New Jersey Governor Christie has decided to play the role of a Greek column today for President Obama. Obama and Chris Christie will tour the Jersey Shore. Now, don't tune me out just because I said the word Limbaugh or the name. Hear what I'm going to say. Who lives on the shoreline, Snurdly, as Limbaugh would ask? That's right. It's the 1% who live on the beach. Living on the beach is not cheap. I don't know if you know this or not, but it's not cheap to live on the beach anywhere. Well, almost anywhere. You can still get pretty cheap beachfront property in Nicaragua, but beyond that, it's pretty expensive. Now, President Obama and the Greek column will be walking the coastline, viewing properties owned by the one percenters, to whom Barack Obama has said, you didn't build that. You didn't make that happen. Now, two theories on what this means. One is that it's a reference to Obama's 2008 speech at the Democratic National Convention, for which the backdrop was four imposing Greek columns, 10 sizable pillars, all connected by a frisee and arranged in a gently curving arc. Another that Limbaugh spins is that Christie is intentionally acting as a Greek column, propping up Obama, speculation ensuing that Christie hopes to improve his bipartisan standing for re-election efforts in 2013 and his possible presidential aspirations in 2016. Some say it's just Limbaugh blowing off steam. In our final bit of news, you all saw the crane dangling dangerously off the side of that building in Manhattan. However, one unnamed Connecticut hedge funder just purchased, since the crane dangled, okay, a $30 million unit inside of 157. One broker told the Post, "Buyers have a short-term memory when it comes to these things unless someone gets severely injured." Hurricane Sandy had snapped the crane over the still-under-construction apartment building, causing panic in Midtown on Monday. The surrounding area was evacuated in case the crane crashed to the ground, which it did not. The building is almost sold out of full-floor units, having reportedly brought in, at this point, over $1 billion. That's the news. Now we go to Michael for a complete and unfettered update of everything that transpired this morning in the live e-mini trading room right here at the CFRN headquarters. Michael, take it away.
All right. I would be happy to take it away.
I'll mute my mic so there's no distracting background tippy-taps as I type.
Excellent. Is that a veiled reference to to my background tippy-taps?
Well, now that you mention it...
Sorry about that.
No,
I usually
okay.
mute myself.
That's why God made mute buttons.
That's right. Among other things.
All right, I'll catch these inbound chats. Have fun.
All right. All right. Let's see. You guys should be looking at my charts at the moment. Yes, you are. And now I will start the recording. Excuse me. All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Today is November 1st, 2012. This is CFRN. If you have not taken a trial with CFRN, go to www.cfrn.net/apply. Take the free trial. In the free trial, you get everything you're going to see here, everything you do see here. You'll get an email that shows you how to download the platform, how to download the indicators, how to install indicators, and if you want to use my layout, then just send me an email at support@cfrn.net, and I will send you my layout so you can have your charts looking exactly like mine. Results for the morning, crude oil plus one tick, gold plus six ticks, NASDAQ plus seven ticks. We took an ES trade. We got a break even on that trade. It did advance five ticks, I think, from our entry before we had moved our stop up to break even. Actually, we went to our stop up to break even when we closed above the MA1, but it came back and stopped us out at break even. I'll go over all that in a minute. Just a reminder for everyone who's on the free trial, there is a partners meeting tonight. You do need to be a partner to get into the partners meeting. It's at 9 p.m. Eastern time. If you don't know what it takes to become a partner and you want to know what it takes to become a partner, send me an email at support@cfrn.net. All right. Because of the mixed up week, with a couple of days that the markets were closed, I did not send out all the partner information. I'm going to send it out today. But I wanted to have everybody get a couple of days in the live trading room, at least get a couple of days in the live trading room, to help you come to some sort of decision about what you want to do. That said, I am going to move on to the trades, all right? Here on the ES, let's just start right off with that. All right, we had this huge run up on the ES, and it started to level out right up here. You can see it's leveling at the moment. I drew this channel up here, this channel that you see right here, looking for opportunities when the channel was broken. Right in here, we had a failed breakout attempt of the channel. 80% of all attempts to break out of a channel do fail. All right, we had one right there. Unfortunately, there was no opportunity to buy because it didn't pull back far enough to the BBC, and because we had double top in right there. All right, the next pullback to the BBC was right over here. We did buy here. We sat through a little bit of a drawdown, a couple of ticks, and then it started to advance in our favor. We moved our stop up to break even, and we're stopped out at break even. Over here, you can see we just barely have a higher swing right here. But nevertheless, we do have a higher swing. There was an opportunity to buy it right over here during the break. It's really consolidating going sideways. What I would look for here is a close up above the MA1. All right, a close up above the MA1. It all looks pretty weak right here, but you know it is still moving, slowly grinding upward. All right, that was the ES. Now let me jump over here. Oh, for just FYI, everybody that went to that webinar yesterday that we did yesterday afternoon about the candlesticks, that will be available in the members area. Okay, we did record it, and the recording will be available in the members area. If you are not a CFRM partner, you can't get into the members area. You have to be an active CFRM partner to get into that members area. All right. Active CFRM partner being the key word there. If you are partners, inactive partners, and you want to become active partners, just send us an email and we'll send you the link to take care of that. There's the close above the MA1 on the ES that I said to look for. All right, now watch for it to get up here to the swing high at 1424. That's where it should go now, without too much delay. All right, the NQ. We took a trade on the NQ this morning. It was pretty early on. What we were looking for, we had the bullish cross, the pull away from and back to the BBC, test to the BBC with an up close right here. All right, we took the long trade with the up close right there, and we took we had 7 ticks profit right in there. Okay, 7 ticks profit right in there. How come there's a node 10? I don't know. I didn't get around to it, Frank. All right. Let's see. Canoe, just send an email to support at cfrn.net, okay? And we'll send everything off to you, okay? Just send support at cfrn.net and say partner info in the subject, and we'll send all the information you need. All right. Let's see. There was an opportunity right in here to get long. I did get long and took some profit right there. Then the price kept moving up and moving up and moving up. We didn't have any more divergent opportunities in here. It did pull back here and test the BBC. I guess right here you might have been able to get long on the up close right there. Okay, with an 8-tick stop, you would have made some profit on that. Just looking through everything right in here, there was no other opportunity until right over here at 10 o'clock to get long. I had highlighted that one in the live trading room. I'm looking for the divergence, the opportunity with the divergences. Here's the bullish cross. Here's the test of the BBC, but by the time it tested the BBC, the cycle was red and headed down, so I wouldn't have liked this trade here in the live trading room. All right. The one thing that you could have looked at, could have considered, is the pullbacks here to the blue area, right there on the yellow line. All right. That one right there, we put in a higher swing. We're coming off a higher swing. That should hold. Over here, we had a blue area that it didn't hit, but it did put in a higher swing. So we're coming off a higher swing to this one right here. All right, so you're anticipating that this is going to hold right there. More higher swings. This time it came down, put in another blue one, and it didn't put in the higher swing before it came down again. You're anticipating this is not going to hold now. Could have sold the close right there, close below there. All right, pull back up, tested the BBC in a down close, but the cycle was going up, so there's no trade in there. Went right through the yellow line here, and that was all during the break. This is all during the break here. And that's pretty much it on the NQ. So we ended up plus 7 ticks on the NQ. We're break even on the ES. Let's jump over here. I didn't take any trades on the YM. The YM acted a lot like the ES this morning, except that it had zones that were just a little bit nearer. Okay, so it had a problem around this zone all morning. You know, most of the morning anyway, for half of the morning session. But it had a big run-up right here, all right, with no opportunity to enter, no pullback to the BBC or anything like that. It had a pullback down here to the BBC with a couple of dojis. Now, we went over this in the live trading room. We had a couple of dojis, and we were saying, know, based partly on what was in that webinar that we had yesterday afternoon. The close after the dojis would indicate the direction, and right there it did. It went right down to the weekly trading zone after it closed down and bounced off the zone and gave another doji right in here. Gave an up close, suggesting that eventually it was going to move up, and so far it's gone up a little bit, but it's sort of just sticking right to that weekly trading zone right here. All right, we didn't take any trades on the YM this morning. Gold. Let's look at gold. Gold got pretty choppy on us here for a while. I don't know if I even marked that last trade that I took. Yeah, I guess I did. Right in here. Let's see, on the gold. Open was right here at 9:30. It pulled up here with bearish divergence, tested the BBC, and gave a down close. There was an opportunity right in there that I missed. In here, we didn't have any divergence down here. We are coming off a lower swing, so you would expect these red spots to hold right here, okay? It dropped down off of there. It didn't actually hit them, so there was no entry, but it dropped down off of there. Came back up. Now, right here, we have a lower... a higher low right there. All right, so we're not coming off a lower low. It goes right through this red area right here. Pulled back over here. There was an opportunity right here where you could have gotten long, okay? Right in there off the BBC with the bullish divergence. You guys are going to notice this is a four-tick range chart. On all the four-tick range charts, the trades are the same, okay? The trades are exactly the same on all the four-tick range charts. So you're looking for the divergence on the up close after the test of the BBC. There was an opportunity to get long right in there. 720.9, it drew down all the way to 720.2 with an 8-tick stop. You would have stayed in that trade for, well, from 20.9 to 22.3 for 14 ticks profit. All right. After that, it drew down here. This, if you would have had your order on here, coming off just a little bit higher high, you would have had your order on here, you would have stopped out on that. All right. It dropped right through it. And let's see, we didn't have any opportunity there. This is what I mean when I said it got pretty choppy in here. It started to go sideways for quite a while, and I took this trade right in here where it pulled through the BBC. Now, the reason I took this trade is because it was a trade in two different ways. All right, I know it was choppy in here. But the reason I took the trade is because it was a trade off of the blue area on the yellow line right there. And it was also a trade after we had a bullish cross, a test of the BBC, and an up close. We had bullish divergence. So I took that trade for two reasons right there. Okay. And I did take some profit on the trade right over here. Things turned around. We had a pullback here. It didn't actually hit the BBC, but it sold off. Again, over here, we didn't have divergence at the time. Over here, it did go one full bar. It was not coming off a lower swing. Over here, this was an opportunity to buy the blue area right here, coming off a higher swing. You know, that moved up two or three bars. And let's see, over here we had bearish divergence, and we're getting into the end of the morning session, but we had bearish cross. right in here, we had bearish divergence, tested the BBC with a down close, and down it went. Coming off a lower low, it didn't make it all the way back up here. Coming off of that red area, it didn't put in a lower low, so you wouldn't have anticipated this is going to hold in here. And that's pretty much it up until now. That was the gold. All right. The Russell was pretty messy all morning. There was one or two trades that I tried to take on the Russell. I think I tried to take this one right over here, and it had advanced too far by the time I tried to get into it. There was another one right in here that had already advanced before I got into it. Let's see. Let me just scroll back here. With all this in here and it not going down and putting in any lower lows, you wouldn't have anticipated it holding right there. Okay, it got up inside the weekly trading zone, bounced off the zone, came up into here. Now, there was some bullish divergence down here after the test of the BBC and the up close, but the cycle sort of in the middle and headed down, so it wasn't just... It wasn't as attractive as we like to see the trade. It wasn't an A-grade trade. This, coming off a higher high, hit the blue area right here, and that was an opportunity to buy it, looking for this level right here for it to get back up to that level. You can see it got through that, Came back down for another opportunity right in here, coming off a higher high. That did not put in a higher high, so you're not thinking anymore that the blue areas are going to hold until you get up above this level and continue the trend. All right. And that is pretty much the high right there. Now it's turned down. Start looking for some bearish divergence. We don't have it yet, but it's in the position to set up bearish divergence over here. Okay. So look for a pullback up to the BBC, test of that, and a down close, and you would have bearish divergence if that were to happen. Okay. That is the Russell on the morning. Let's jump over here to crude oil. Now, crude inventories came out today, so the market's jumped all over the place for a little while. This is where we took our short this morning on the crude. It had a bearish cross, tested the BBC with a down close. I took short right here. Moved my stop up to plus one tick once we had gotten down here to the MA1. You can see after that, it went up here, hit the red area on the Elbrick Road, went down, put in a lower swing, went right through this after putting in a lower swing. It went right through this area right here. If you had put an order on there, you would have lost that one. All right, from there, it turned around, went right through the BBC down here. You could have bought that right there for the move up. Again, we had blue in here, put in a higher swing. Blue in here, no higher swing, so you're not anticipating that this is going to hold right here. It did do one full bar from here, which would have put your stop at break even, but you're not anticipating this is going to hold. And then it got into some choppy period right in there. I don't think we had any opportunities right in there, did we? No, we didn't. No opportunities right in there. Over here, we're not really coming off a higher high to take this long trade right here. We're definitely not coming off a higher high to anticipate any of these holding. In here, we have a test of the BBC with an up close, but the cycle's starting to work its way down, so that's just not as attractive as of a trade as when the cycle's all the way up and overbought. Okay, over here, we have a higher swing. It pulled back down. Right here, you would have anticipated this holding, okay, right in here. You would have anticipated that holding at least for one bar. One bar's return, at which point you would move your stop to break even. Now, it did not put in a higher swing. You're not anticipating this will hold. You could have sold the close down below this level right here. And this is one of the techniques that we've gone over in the past few weeks. It got choppy in here, but if you sold that right there, you know, eventually it did go down. Right in here, we had some bearish divergence in a couple of spots and tests of the BBC. There's bearish divergence in there and bearish divergence right in here. With tests of the BBC and down closes in here and in here. All right, put in a lower swing, shot right through the BBC to the red area. The red area held, pushed it back down, put in a lower swing. It came up here and you would have anticipated this holding. It did give at least one bar's profit on the way down. It looks like it gave two bar's profit on the way down. So your stop would have at least been a break even on that spot right over here. Okay. That is what you're looking for. And the rest of this all happened during the break. Okay. Now, let me just jump back over here because we had crude oil come out at 11 o'clock. So everything between right here at 11 and, like, stuff over here was pretty much untradeable. All right? The market just bounced around so much that there was nothing you could do. Whereas right now, you see, we don't have a higher swing right here. It's come down and bounced off of this. It's given one full bar, but I wouldn't anticipate this holding right here. Okay, that was the crude oil. Now I think I covered soybeans really quick in the live trading room this morning after the open. I had said I would sell a drop down below here. I would buy right here. If you look at where it was right here, it went up pretty hard off of where I said I would buy. And Dwayne had a tweet out last night. We had a tweet out yesterday, right, by above 1553, and that shot up all the way up to 71.5. That's a huge gain, all right? And I think he said to take profits last night when it was at 68 or something like that. Yeah, what, 15 cents? I think he tweeted another tweet out there to take some profits on that. That is the soybeans, the euro. We'll just look at the euro really quickly here. We have a bullish cross test of the BBC right over here for a move up, and in the pre-market there was one right here off of the yellow line where it turned red right there, the red area on the yellow line. anticipating a move down. Okay? That. And that is that. All right, that's everything. And we are done with all the markets, I think. All right. Again, partners meeting tonight. If you want to become a partner, send us an email at support@cfrn.net with partner info in it, and we will send you all the information you need to become a partner. Okay. If you haven't taken a free trial with us, take the free trial. Okay, go to www.cfrn.net/apply. All right. Todd B. Oh, this to you, Todd B. R. I sent your response to your question last night. Hopefully you got that. All right. And Dwayne is just taking the charts for me.
Were you done?
Right, so, I'm going to wrap up the recording right here, unless you want to show something in the recording.
Well, you know what? If you're going to record it,
go ahead.
I'll throw this in. I just wanted to – there's two things I want to remind people of. If you were in the webinar yesterday afternoon, I put it into the chat room, but let me remind you here, and for partners that were not – and even free trialers who were not in that webinar yesterday afternoon – one of the beautiful things about the DT Pro platform, which we use, which you just saw Michael using, and as you watch my charts for the rest of this radio program today and every day, we use exclusively the DT Pro platform as provided by Daniel's Trading. And every one of those 12 major candlestick signals that you were shown yesterday by Steve, you can tell DT Pro, I want you to alert me every time there is a harami, or an abandoned baby, or a bearish engulfing pattern, or a bullish engulfing pattern, all 12 of the major signals, and then some. You can tell DT Pro, I want this alert, this alert, this alert. It will alert you. It will paint the candle a different color so that it stands out, and as you're learning the major signals, what a great tool to have, because sometimes you're asked questioning yourself, is this this or is it that? It paints it on the screen. It tells you. So just one more reason that you should download today, right here, right now, the DT Pro platform. In fact, I'll be putting into the chat room momentarily the address that will allow you to get that platform downloaded and installed, and then you can begin seeing the 12 major signals as they unfold over the next week. It really is that simple. Bert will be more than happy to walk you through the process. Once you've downloaded the platform, you can call him toll-free, 866-928-3310. Over here on the right-hand side of any page at CFRN, if you click on the red opinions button, it will take you to the opinion page. Imagine that. We have a few members of our audience who have a desire to be bloggers, writers. Some of them are very talented writers, I might say. They all are, for that matter. And you know what? This is the beauty of having a community with different people and different personalities, is you get all kinds of perspectives. The last one, written by our buddy who is in Texas, I believe, Eric, his last article was 7 tips for first-time stock buyers. So for those of you that are in equities, you'll find that of interest. Ghost Rider, his last post was a Psalm of David. And Powderhorn, who's back from the big elk hunt, he wrote a very nice post that talked about some of the things he experienced as he was on this hunting trip out in the absolute middle of nowhere, Colorado. Beautiful country. There were some pictures in the previous post. But he got trapped in a bit of a snowstorm. It just kind of came up out of nowhere. And he had to be prepared. This is him in the snowstorm. How cool is that? Can you see it, Michael?
Yeah, that is cool.
Are you as taken with it as I am?
I am.
My wife goes, is that an eagle? I go, no, it's a guy with gloves and a hailstorm. And she goes, oh, okay. I said, put on your glasses, please. She goes, oh, okay, you're right, it is. Now, what he does
is
he, see, he had to think on his seat and figure out what he was going to do because, I mean, let's face it, being out in the wild, in the wilderness, in blizzard conditions, you can go pretty quick. So he had to think quick and do a little of this and that, and he was able to come out of there safely in one piece. But what he does so very well in this blog post is he translates the exposure that he had to the elements to exposure that we all experience in the markets. Panic. We've all felt it. He talks about everything that we should do, everything that we can do to limit our exposure to the risk side of the equation. Now, this is a great article. If you're a trader, thanks very much. And again, thanks to each and every one of our bloggers. And if you, whoever you are, I said thanks to all of our bloggers. If you have a desire to blog, to write, to share your opinion, it can be about the markets, it can be about politics, it can be about your faith. It can be about how much I get on your nerves. That's okay. Send it in. I'll editorialize it. I'll create you a page, and you can blog your heart out. You can tell your friends and family, I'm a blogger, because that seems to be a pretty cool thing to be these days. All the cool kids are doing it. Won't you join them? So, with that said, we're going to go to our friends out in Las Vegas, Nevada, Mr. David Williams from PageTrader.com, and Miss Robin Dane, the trading coach, see what's shaking in their neck of the woods. For those of you that don't know how to get to the blog, up here at the top on the navigation pane, you click eMini Radio Blog. What this does is it takes you to a table of contents. If you want to go page by page, the most recent post is always at the very top. Last night I wrote about simplifying your e-mini trading. It's complicated. If you click View Recent Posts, it gives you a little different view in that you're able to see not only last night's post, but if you continue to scroll down, it will walk you right through post after post after post, reaching back years in time. Now, accompanying each blog post will be that day's radio broadcast in the form of a podcast. You can listen off of our site, or you can click this little button, go over to the iTunes, and you can subscribe to the podcast. This means you never miss an episode. It automatically gets downloaded to your iOS device. You can put it on your iPad, your iPhone, your iMac, even your computer. That's right. Those of us who are PC-bound, we have access to iTunes. Some people might think, hey, I wish I had an iDevice so I could get that iTunes. If you got a PC, you're welcome to have iTunes. It's a great way to manage and store all of your digital content, from podcasts to music, to TV shows and movies. It's an easy-to-use interface. And again, when you subscribe freely to the CFRN podcast, all the recent episodes are at your fingertips. And if you got the iDevice, they're at your fingertips no matter where you happen to be. Standing in line, listen to a podcast. That's how I roll. All right, enough of this and enough of that. We're going to head right on out to Las Vegas, Nevada. Now, don't go away. Don't touch that radio dial because we will be right back.
You're listening to CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living. To learn more about who we are, what we do, and how we do it, call toll-free 1-866-928-3310. And we'll send you out a no-obligation information kit absolutely free. 866-928-3310.
Morning, Dwayne.
Good morning, David. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, and thank you for having me today, and good morning to everyone. Good morning, Michael.
Robin, are you there?
How are you?
And good morning, Robin. And Robin.
Did you open her mic yet?
I have not opened her mic, but I will.
Thank you, sir.
I'm on the R's right now. Here she is. She's probably talking, and we can't hear her. There you go. Now we can hear her.
I love it where they say, where's Robin, and I can't say anything.
Good morning, Robin.
Good morning, David, and good morning, Michael, and good morning, Dwayne. I hope you're having a better day today, Michael.
Yes, yes, today is better.
Good, good, good.
Michael, is your power and everything restored?
It is.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Oh, excellent.
Yes, yes, we are back to normal, which is
good.
That's so good to hear, because I tell you, I'm amazed at what I'm hearing about New York, and one of my favorite steak places down in the down in the marketplace there is Harry's, and they had something like 4 or 5 feet of water. It's an institutional place for traders, and people would go there after the market closed. And I don't know if they're going to open up. There are people that are just losing their businesses because they have so much water damage.
Mm-hmm. Many traders belong in an institution.
Yes,
I mean just. Just
they,
saying.
They go, they go from Harry's to Bellevue, back to Harry's.
That's right.
I'm just joking.
But there's a big controversy now about the marathon on Sunday. You know, should Bloomberg have given the okay to let it continue? A lot of the people that live in Manhattan are saying no because they got to go through Staten Island. I guess Staten Island really got hit bad. And it's just
there's an
I don't know. What do you think about that?
Well, there's
what
an interesting article out today, and I'll I'm going to say that I'll post a link in the show notes to the article, but we all know I probably won't. But it's a tale of two Manhattans. There is a dividing line in Manhattan where there's power and no power, and this guy talks about how the side of the line. I mean, and it's literally just a line in the street where. On this side of the line, you have power. On the other side, you don't. It's darkness. It's scary. Things go bump in the night. But on this side, it's like life is normal. And he said, as he was walking a young lady home after dinner last night, and she lives on the dark side, as they approached the dark side, there was some type of bank that has one of those little cubicles outside that you can step into, get out of the elements, and do your banking business with the instant teller. Well, it just so happens that this little box, instant teller, whatever you want to call it, has an electrical outlet. So some enterprising individual had actually brought down a power strip. And so there were like 7 people crowded into this little cube, all powering up their iPhones and their laptops and
their
whatnots.
There seems to be a problem with your audio, Dwayne.
Okay. All right. Well, Michael, go ahead.
He completely vanished.
Go ahead and take it.
He did.
Take it. I can't.
That happened one time before. Remember that checkbox, Dwayne.
I think the electrical company heard him talking about him.
We can take over. When he reappears magically, we can start again.
There's nothing.
Where
I
were you now, Robin?
Well, we were just, taking, do you think they should have the marathon?
No, I don't. I think they should take care of the people that and have nothing interfere with the restoring of everything back to normal. And then we can have marathons and do other things. I don't know all the details, but that would be my first answer.
Yeah,
going on.
The thing is that they're going to use resources that they're going to need that have been helping people. That's what. when all those people come in to do the run. So they would lose. And, you know, all those people made the effort to get there from all over the world, you know, to do this run. I mean, on one hand, I understand that, but there's millions of people that don't have power or don't have food or are trying to rebuild their businesses and trying to go through Staten. And he said he wanted people to see going through Staten Island how bad things were so that they would feel a little bit obligated to make some donations.
So we're back. Right. I'll jump right back in there. Now, yes, yeah, so all these people are charging up their devices inside of the little bank instant teller where they have access to power with the power strip. Everybody's all plugged in, just chatting so that they can go back into the dark side and still have access to the world via their wireless internet devices. But the article is really well written, and I'll actually really try to remember to put a link in the show notes to that article, A Tale of Two Manhattans. And they haven't had widespread vandalism, breaking and entering. They have increased police patrols substantially. But it's inevitable if they don't get the lights back on pretty quick. And they're still, at this point, I think, not sure when that's going to happen. So hopefully it will be very soon, within the next day or two.
Hmm.
Okay. So.
Yeah, you know, New York has had, I was just going to say, New York has had a run of, you know, they've had some good periods here, but with 9/11 and with weather and with, there's been a number of other things, the airplane crashing into the Hudson.
Mm-hmm.
New York, you know, you're not lacking action.
No.
If you move there.
No. That's
oh, there's always something going on there. Always.
The city that never sleeps.
Yeah, it is a beautiful place.
Yeah.
It is beautiful. There is something very charming, and it's probably a very expensive place to live. And I'm sure that it's it has its, you know, high life and all that stuff. But I remember many, many, many years ago, this was actually in the 80s, I was in New York because you have to stop over in New York on your way to Bermuda, and I had some business in Bermuda, so you stay over, and I stayed over the night there, and I was really taken by, this is just my memory in the 80s, so remember, it's probably a lot different now, but we were staying at a hotel, which I can't remember, it was one of the Helmsley properties. You remember the Helmsley people, mm-hmm. the wife, you know, the Leona Helmsley and her...
With the dog. She left all her money to the dog.
Left her all her money to the dogs. Just telling everybody in the world to screw off, you know.
Right.
I mean, she was just really just quite
a
piece. Yeah, she was a tyrant. She really was.
She was a tyrant.
And, you know, there are those kinds of people, obviously, in the world. And they might seem like very nice people, but as soon as they're given power, and I just want to say this for the record, there's many nice people that we all know that you wouldn't recognize if they were given power. How ugly they would be.
Yeah.
So don't be so sure everybody's so nice and sweet and little beams of sunshine, even people in church. Because when given power, people can completely change, completely.
Everybody
and they
has
can do terrible
the
things.
Capability of being
everybody can. Everybody
stupid.
Can. And some people can, and when you look at movie stars and people like this, look how messed up their own lives are because they were given power. They become self-destructive and in some way. And it's not always hurting others. Often it's hurting themselves. But anyway, so yeah, she was a tyrant. But I remember we were staying, it may have been called the Helmsley Hotel. I don't remember what it was called. But it was a nice hotel. And I remember stepping out. My main memory was stepping out of the Helmsley Hotel and starting to turn to the right and having to step over two sleeping homeless people.
Oh, I know.
Right there. So the dividing line between people who had nothing and the people who lived like the Helmsleys was like a foot. I mean, it was just like as soon as you stepped out of a really nice building, there they were. And so that really stuck in my mind because it showed the diversity between, you know, and I don't know how New York is now. I'm sure it's a lot better than it used to be then, but it was sad to see people, they were sleeping on the gratings.
We have them in Vegas. We got them in Vegas. They're just in the wash. You don't see them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have them in Vegas. You know, they're just not, you know, unfortunately, we have too many homeless. Mm-hmm. You know, we have too many veterans that are homeless. We just have too many homeless in general. We should not be a country that has as many homeless as we have. Mm-hmm. It just shouldn't be.
Well, when when you go to England, you don't see homeless people. In America in particular, a lot of the homeless people, it's a lifestyle choice if you talk to them. But there is, more often than not, some underlying issue of some mm-hmm. form of mental illness. It may yep. have manifested in the form of alcoholism or drug addiction or something more serious and severe. In America, we allow those people to wander the streets, and when people come here from Europe and see that, they're really quite taken aback and astounded because they don't allow that there. If you go to
how do they manage it?
You won't see that. they scoop them up, and they put them somewhere. You're not allowed to just live that life there. I mean, if you want to go out in the country and camp out, you can. They won't stop you, but they don't allow it on the city streets downtown. Hmm. They just have a very different approach. Now, there's a fine line there, especially when it comes to mental health. For a person's own good, should you take control of their life? Well, at this point, the American people say, no, we should be free to choose. Even if we're not capable of making our own best decision, we should still be free to choose how we want to live out our life. That's one of the things that makes America unique, and so you can argue that's a good thing, that's a bad thing. It's just the way it is. And in New York, one of the biggest things that I've seen happen in my lifetime, I was there as a young man in the military on leave on the weekends. Times Square was the... there was so much degradation and obscenity on a grandest scale in Times Square. I mean, that's what Times Square was. It has been mm-hmm. completely revamped, cleaned up, Disney. I was having this conversation yesterday with somebody. Who was that? About Disney investing a lot of money in Times Square to kind of get it turned around and cleaned up. And it's now a place where you can take your family and have a good time. Mm-hmm. But it back in the late 70s, early 80s, it was a very dark and quite frankly scary place. Mm-hmm. So, but a young man in the military on leave, he went there looking for excitement and adventure. And that's also where he got mugged. But that's another story. For another radio show.
That's terrible. Well, I'll tell you something. Even out here in Las Vegas, at one point, and it still is this way, we have so many of these people with the "we'll work for food" sign and so on. Mm-hmm. At one point, I actually thought this was an elected position. You know, that these people were elected. It's a humor because there's so many.
It's a franchise.
Anyway,
you can get
the franchise. but we still have many corners that have those. People at them off freeway, off ramps, and it's legal out here for them to do that. And you do see people, and I always think it's just me. I don't do that. I don't hand money out to them. But and you know whether that's good or bad, but I do see people doing it. I'm always touched. I really am when people do that. Even though I don't do it, somebody rolls their window down, and the guy's there, and the guy comes over, and the person's either giving them their change or maybe a couple of dollars or something. And I'm always touched by that. I'm always thinking, well, that's very nice of you. You know, I almost feel better about the person doing the giving than I do about the person getting the receiving. Mm-hmm. Because I think that's very nice of somebody to do that. Even though I don't do it, I see it. And whatever you want to think of that, it really touches me when I see somebody reach in their pocket and, you know, roll their window down and have the guy come over and, you know, and he's giving them something. It's a very nice thing. And, I don't know, just, I find myself moved by that, even though I don't do it myself. I think it's one of those things that you're sitting and looking in on a little world right there where somebody's stepping out of their world or however you want to think of it and giving something and doing an act of kindness to this person, irrespective of whether the person spends the money on alcohol or whatever, you know, all the arguments the person could make, it's very nice. Americans, you know, and I think all people, human beings, can, you know, they're very empathetic and they give and they're very kind. They can be equally just as mean and as scolding and as bad as anything. But in those little, you know, vignettes of moments when you're sitting at a stoplight and this guy is there, it's theater. You're sitting there, there's, you know, 20 cars there, and he's walking around, he's looking into the window of every car. They're not shy to do that with their sign. Mm-hmm. And it's theater. Someone is going to, you know, it's like a vignette. He walks around and he's seeing who might be interested in helping him, and lo and behold, here's somebody that does that. But I always feel better for the person giving than I do for the person receiving. I'm not sure what that's all about, but I've noticed that.
Yeah, I've given them a sandwich once. I had a sandwich on my seat, and instead of giving them money, I said, okay, I can make sure that they won't buy drugs with the money. I'll give them my sandwich. I gave them a sandwich. You know, it depends on the person who's there. I mean, sometimes you can see that they're really, you know, they are actually legitimate. You know, I just wish we had a better program for helping them and took a little bit more notice of the challenge. We had them in New Hampshire. I mean, there are homeless everywhere. We had them in New Hampshire, and it was a challenge because it would get really cold. Vegas, at least they can sometimes get through the winter, but in New Hampshire, when the snow is terrible, I mean, we've had people that have just died.
We've had that out here as well.
Just frozen. Because they have no place to go.
One summer, a few years ago, it got so hot here in Phoenix that there were a number of deaths among the homeless people.
From the heat.
They had watering stations, and the Red Cross was out handing out bottles of water. It got bad. Homeless people who have chosen that as a lifestyle, they do tend to gravitate to areas where seasonally, it's easier to deal with the heat here in the summer than it is to deal with the cold in New Hampshire or someplace like that. In fact, the mayor of Portland, Oregon, he held a rally some years back, and he suggested that all the homeless people who had gathered there because it was in the city square, he suggested that they all go to Phoenix where it was much nicer and much warmer.
Yeah, I think every mayor has this problem. They want it to go away. They want the problem to go away.
Yeah.
And something has to be done with it. Our, you know, Mayor Oscar Goodman, who his wife now I think is mayor here.
Yeah.
Oscar Goodman had several plans that they put together at one point, but they didn't really come to fruition. For those of you who do come out to Las Vegas, for whatever reason, just visiting or whatever, I'd like you to go downtown, if you've ever been here before, and check out what is happening downtown in Las Vegas here.
The old downtown Las Vegas,
right. Where you cross Sahara Boulevard, and you're on sort of the north side of the strip, where there's no large casinos anymore, and you're heading down, and you get to Fremont Street. And Fremont Street has been for years just the most, really just disgusting place you could ever imagine. And now that disgustingness is actually really hip.
Yeah, and it's really getting great.
It is. It's amazing. And so if you are in town, and I've said this before on radio, I'll take you to dinner if you want to come out. If you let us know that you're going to be in town, I'll meet you somewhere, and you know, you can go downtown, and we can eat in some freaky downtown place there, or at a regular restaurant. The choice is yours.
And David will even take you on the zip line.
Well, I haven't been on the zip line yet, but that sounds like a lot of fun.
It's really great to watch because they have the zip line right down Fremont Street, and you know, above everything, so you have all this kind of archway of light that has a fabulous light show at night that you watch every 15 minutes it goes on, and then underneath that you've got the zip line, and underneath that you've got the crowd of people that are just kind of walking Fremont Street. So it's pretty neat. And there's a bunch of new opened or revamped. They have, was it the D?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's called the D Casino. The D is brand new, and I think they had a grand opening not too long ago.
That's
and
nice.
The plaza's been redone. They've done a great job in there.
I'll have to check that out.
The Golden Nugget is also been fabulous. You got to check that out. They have.
Wow. Did they redo the Golden Nugget?
Oh, ages ago. I mean, that was like the first one that
really?
Got redone. Oh, yeah.
I've spent a lot of time at the Golden Nugget, I have to tell you.
Yeah.
Over the years.
You can watch people from a bar. You can watch people go through the Shark Tank in a tube. They go from the pool at the top, and they go through a tube, and the tube brings them through the Shark Tank.
Aww.
But you can watch them do this, which is really kind of fun. Mm-hmm. And then they have this huge gold. They have my gold nugget there. It's called Robin's Nugget, and it's huge. It's gigantic. It's a huge gold nugget that they have on display.
Yeah, the gold nugget. Yeah.
I'm surprised nobody's broken into that thing yet because it's gigantic.
Well, it is gigantic. The hotel, the Golden Nugget, was Steve Wynn's, I think, first property that he was in partnership with somebody down there. And I remember seeing Frank Sinatra, when he was alive, in commercials with Steve Wynn advertising the Golden Nugget. This is back in the 80s. Frank Sinatra and Steve Wynn were pals. And,
The steak place has some fabulous pictures of the whole Rat Pack.
Yeah, so it's very interesting. There's a lot of history down there. If you want to come, if you're in Las Vegas, and you don't
definitely
have to drag
check
me
it
along,
out.
You can you say, let's leave Williams. Let's just go ourselves. Okay, you can leave me behind. Just go enjoy downtown and the whole thing.
It's
Las
nice
Vegas
because you
really
don't have
fabulous.
To walk forever. You know, I mean, when you go on the regular part of the Strip, you have to. You know, everybody says, "Oh, I'm going to walk through each of the casinos today." I said, "Yeah, okay, you'll be in bed by 5 because you can't walk. You can't walk all those casinos."
Let me describe it a little better. The casinos are right there in front of you. There's a building right there. And you go, there's the casino, honey. Let's just go right into here. The casino's right there. And then you're walking for 15 minutes.
Five
and your honey says, where's the casino, honey? It's right there. It's right there. And you're walking for another 15 minutes. The casino has never moved. It's like some special effects thing in a movie where you keep moving towards it, and you never reach it. That's what it's like to walk on the Las Vegas Boulevard because these casinos are so big, and they're so right there, and yet you'll walk for 30 minutes, and it's right in front of you.
Right. It's really – whereas, on Fremont Street, you can go casino to casino like you did in the old days, and you don't have to walk for miles and miles.
We do have a tram as well. not a tram, but I mean a monorail. We have a monorail.
An expensive monorail.
Yeah, an expensive monorail, but
we have an expensive
a lot of the casinos
monorail.
Don't want it going through because they're afraid their customers will move on to another casino, but other casino customers will come to them. They still haven't gotten that, but that's okay. It takes a long time for those – for the old guard to change. Okay, so Dwayne, if you want, or if there's anything else, Robin, you want to cover, we can get right into the markets.
Let's get into the markets. I do want to cover some psychology stuff, so leave me a little bit.
Of course. And you can throw it in at any time.
Okay, I'll wait for the markets.
I'm ready,
to
go to the markets
talk about
if you would like.
What's that, Dwayne?
I said I'm ready to go to the markets
if you
would like.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Well, let's take a look at the S&P. Let's begin with the S&P.
Okay.
our outlook since the previous Monday, not last Monday, but the one before that, has been that we would leave the market alone last week on the long side, but we would start to get long this week, primarily because there's a reflected wave, weekly bottom, A and B. There was many other setups in the making for in advance. We had an interesting thing happen. And in fact, Dwayne, I would like to show this, but let me just verbalize it first.
Okay.
Once in a while in the way that we look at the market, there are setups where you will get an immediate repeat of a move. And it doesn't happen all the time, but we had it. And we had a setup for the market on the 26th, which was last Friday. And on the 26th, the forecast was as long as the market closes above 1402, then it will advance to 1419 into October 31st or October 30th. And, of course, the market was interrupted by the storm, but on October 31st, yesterday, it got to the 1418.25, so it completed the target. And then during yesterday's session, we realized that same setup was in play. This actually was even true on the 26th, that it was the setup was there to do two of these. So I told Bert yesterday morning on the way to work, we happened to be talking, and I said, if I think the market should go down to 1402 today, meaning yesterday, and if it closes above that, we're going to go right back up to 1418, 1419 into today, November 1st. So we put that out as a second, what we call super trade. And I'm going to, I don't know if it's really necessary for me to show it, but if you want, Dwayne, I'll put it up here. It might be interesting to see it anyway.
Sure.
If you hand it to me, I'll pass it over to you right now.
Now,
super trades are something that we used to do a whole lot of. We don't do a whole lot of these anymore. This is the chart starting from the lower left here. This is October 26. Any close above 1402 will advance to 1419. You know, this is the bar, really, that closed above 1402. So you'd be getting in at higher prices. But forget about actually trading it just for a moment. And it swung up here and did the 1418.25. And then yesterday we gave out the second super trade that said they should go back down to 1402, and then they should reverse and go back up to 1418, 1419. And then we had that exact move. A lot of times you would expect a lot of resistance and other things along the way up. We did not, because the nature of super trades is that these are fast, sharp, directional moves that should occur. This move here is fast and sharp, but they did have some consolidation. This is a 120-minute chart. You can look up in the upper left-hand corner here. There's nothing magical about the 120. It's just that it compresses the movement here enough so you can see everything. But, you know, you had to sit through some pullback and et cetera to get the completion. But this is more normal, what you would normally see in a super trade, because the super trade identifies, and again, remember, all this is theoretical until it becomes actual, but like any forecast, but it identifies a moment where the market is between two important, again, lack of a better word, cycles. And the market will have a very fast run into those periods. And that's what this is identifying. So anyway, we have two of them here. I can switch this back to you. I'm just pointing out it's easier to see it than it is to verbalize it. But there was two in a row. You don't see that all the time. There will be other examples of that over time. But once in a while, you will see that. And we did get that example. I think I switched it back to you. Did I, Dwayne?
Got it.
There you go. Okay, thank you. So now, where are we now? Let's take a look at where we are in the S&P right now, because this is an important juncture. I believe we're going up. I believe that the downside is over, and I believe that we're going to be going substantially higher from here. So,
and that plays into not only the technicals, as you discussed and were just showing on your chart, but I wrote about this Monday night, that just based on history, from a historical perspective, what mm-hmm. happens to the markets after a hurricane, and this applies to any natural disaster or... But they were using, of course, hurricanes to reference because of Sandy, is that the market will, when on the day that the markets reopen, now, again, we had a historic thing where the markets were closed for 2 days, but once traders are able to trade, mm-hmm. let's say a storm happens at night and the market's open, the typical knee-jerk reaction that I wrote about Monday night, we saw it on Wednesday, the market sells off. Then cooler heads prevail, and people realize that the commerce pot is about to get stirred, that people are going to be buying materials and hiring construction crews, and insurers are going to be sending out claim checks, and the economy is going to get stimulated, and
right.
all
That's a good
boats
point.
Are going to rise to some degree, and so ensuing is a rally. So, okay, which came first, the technicals or the fundamentals? Boy, that's that chicken and egg scenario that you can scratch your head over forever. But I think you and I both lean towards the technicals.
They operate together.
They do operate together. But I think probably just because we've spent so much time immersed in technical analysis that we kind of want to mm-hmm. believe that, you know, the technicals – show up first, and then the news comes to validate it. And I'm sure there's mm-hmm. news people who could argue it perfectly the other way. No reason for anybody to argue it. Just is. The two do work together, as you just said.
Yeah. No, I used to be mystified, honestly, mystified by that connection. And I was, for many, many years, under the belief that somehow the technicals were actually forecasting or creating the news. I mean, I know you can get in some pretty weird places when you really get into technical work. Maybe, and I think in other areas in science and other areas, people might have a corollary to that, where they can get so deep into something that they honestly believe something that may not be true because they're not seeing the whole picture. And it dawned on me, actually, in this last decade, you know, from 2000 to 2010, because this is a whole growing process, you know, even, you know, all the way to the end of your life, you know, you're going to be trading and you're going to be learning things and understanding things differently and perhaps, hopefully, in a clearer way as you move through time. So for me, it became, at some point, it dawned on me that it's not that one causes the other or that, I mean, you could call it that, but it really isn't that. It really is that the whole business, the whole process of the creation of events and news and the process of evaluating technical setups and things on charts, that the whole thing is one process. It's not a bunch of separate, it can be broken into separate things, but in reality, the news and the markets are intertwined, hopelessly intertwined. And there's no need to unwind them and cause one to cause another. They're all one big holistic movement. And so when that idea, which may not be original, you know, I'm not claiming any originality in it, but for me it was an original insight because I had struggled with the very thing you just mentioned, Duane, which is that, you know, which one comes first. And now I'm very comfortable with the idea that the whole business is one big movement. They're all connected. You might as well break apart the movement of your body as you're moving, you know, your hips move forward and then your leg moves and this, and you could break it up into all kinds of bits and pieces, but in reality, it's one whole human being moving. And so in technical work, all the technician is looking at is the technicals, and because news and events are reflected in the market, reality does get reflected into the markets move in such a way that the technicals can turn right around and reflect that back into the world and say, well, the market's going to do such and such here and turn and top and bottom. And then news events come along, strangely enough, to fulfill that. It looked very mystical. But really, for me, the mysticism of it, if there is any, is that we tend to split things up into bits and pieces. And the reality is probably much truer, much closer to the truth, that this is one whole movement, and that to try to break it up into pieces actually causes you more grief than viewing it as a whole. And that's how I look at the markets much more now with regard to this question and in some other ways as well, regarding the split between technical analysis and news. So I'm not so mystified anymore. I had some very, very odd experiences that are explained now by this viewpoint, by the holistic viewpoint. And I'm not going to say that that's the final answer and that's the best answer. But for me, just for me personally, it's a great answer. And it really does work. And it's not an answer that leaves me mystified or feeling like I have to reach out to some supernatural level in order to explain what I'm seeing and so on. So anyway, I could go into some stories about it, but no need to do so. So anyway, with regard to this, with Duane talking about the hurricane and that it's seasonality, and that's an interesting one. I had never thought of the hurricane, you know, trading cycle, you know,
it's
so to
like
speak.
It's like your war thing that, you know, as much as we despise war,
very much so.
It creates commerce.
Yeah, it does. It creates commerce. So what that means is I like selling puts. I like buying calls. I like buying stocks. I like the listeners to this program. How's that? No, I just like it all. I like the long side. So I think you should begin looking at that. If we close this week well, and all closing this week well means is closing above 1401, which was the original 1401 and 1402 for us for the super trade setup levels, and they should continue to close above 1401, from this point forward, and I think you're going to see us, this is just rough, but you're going to see us up into the 1450 areas and things like that. So I like the idea of looking at your work, or looking, if you happen to be a reflected wave student, looking at the pullbacks for reflected wave bottoms in an uptrend. If you're using Duane and Michael's work, buying where and when they're instructing you or they're indicating to buy, and so on, for further use of this trend, which I believe would be heading higher here. We forecast this last week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of last week. Don't buy last week. Start your buying this week. And then many other things came together for it. So I think there's enough here to put together the idea that the S&P is going to be moving higher. Check your individual stocks out. If you happen to trade in stocks, you should see some beginnings in most of those. As a matter of fact, a good way of doing this is, and this is what we do, this is old technical work, but find the stocks that did not decline so badly, the ones that declined the least in this whole decline from many, many weeks back, going back to the week of September 10th. Find the stocks that declined the least and let those buy signals trigger you into that, because that's the stronger stock. You want to buy the strong when the market bottoms. You don't want to be buying the ones that were the weakest. A lot of times people, and this is just me, but a lot of times people say, wow, this stock really dived down. Boy, it really took a big move to the downside. So that's the one that really has to turn and go up. But quite often in individual stocks, because the equities do move a little differently, but it's the same stuff, but they are a little different creature. A lot of times the ones that make the really big move down, they take a lot more time to have their move back up. And the ones that didn't move, the strong, that are among the weak, you want to buy those strong when the index starts to bottom. So that's another thing. This is, you know, talking about individual stocks as opposed to the index. And we like to diversify. I've mentioned this before. I'll just say it again. Instead of selling a bunch of put premium on the index, which they're putting in a weekly bottom here, and we would expect a multi-week advance, I could sell put premium on the index itself. And I used to do a lot of that. But now we find it's much better to go in and do what I just said and give go look at all the universe of stocks, the very sectors and indexes, and all the things that might be of interest to you, and find the ones that are the strongest during this decline and sell put premium under those. Now, what happens is that you've diversified your risk. Instead of just betting on one, instead of betting on investing in the idea that the index is going to go up and you're either just right or wrong, you diversified it across a whole bunch of stocks that all are in good positions. Some of them may not work out so well, and even if the index itself were to turn back down and maybe this just wasn't a good bottom and so on, many of those stocks still will, believe it or not, be good enough for you to have some profit in. You wouldn't want to hang around real long because the index itself is moving lower, but it means that you don't have to be quite so hard and fast on you're either right or wrong on the index, because you've spread your risk across these other items. I think this is really good advice for people who want to buy individual stocks and take advantage of that while trading in the indexes. I really like the idea. We used to do it the other way around, and then we got more into diversifying the risk. And then when you really do get it right, like as an example, this weekly bottom here, we have a multi-week advance. Well, those stocks, many of them are going to have bigger than normal moves. Some of them are going to have smaller than normal moves. But you get a really nice mix, and you get some gains that are really outsized from the norm. And you do better in general than you would just doing the index alone. So I like the idea of starting to look for the long side. Today's Thursday, tomorrow's Friday. We close above 1401. I like it. So that's my take on the S&P. And we will have, I'm sure, some roadmaps and some other super trades and things coming up. Okay, so unless we have any questions on that, let's zip right over to a couple of the other favorite markets. We all like gold, and we – let me – I had saved a page here, and so I need to get back to that. Let's take a look at gold. This is it's a favorite market of everybody. I mean, no one cannot like the gold market.
How do you not like gold?
I know. I defy you to not like the gold market. Let's see.
We're still in December gold, by the way, folks.
Okay, so we're still – yeah, that's correct. We are still in December gold. And see if there's anything I wanted to add to that. Okay, I do want to say something about this. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail about it, but I just want to say, as a generality, I believe that we are going to be testing in gold back up at 1760. So what I, now let me say this. I believe we're going to be testing 1760 in January. So we're a couple months away. So what I like is I like the idea, for those of you who have any method, but especially if you have reflected wave, to find yourself a entry on the long side either in this month or in December to take advantage of the fact that we're going to be testing 1760 in January. How are you doing? There you are. That's what I'm talking about.
To ultimately test what price?
1760.
1760, okay.
Yeah, so this is something that is, we're quite a distance in time, obviously not in numbers of months, but day by day by day, we're quite a distance away in time. But I'm just giving this out now because this may end up being a roadmap later or some other type of setup for us, and I want the listeners to be able to take advantage of this in general. So keep an eye on that. And I would, you know, if I had my druthers, I'd really like to see the market drop a little bit more. The same as I've mentioned in crude for the month of November, I would actually like to see gold move down a little bit further. It would make for a better trade in on the long side and so on. So just keep that in mind. I think that's a really good initial idea of what to expect, and it's a really nice trade. Of course, it requires overnight margin. I'm going to just come right out and suggest that everybody that trades any of the ideas that we're suggesting on, you know, on this part of the program, that you get a account with Birch Lichter. And here's why. It has nothing to do with the fact that I think Birch Lichter's the, you know, I mean, it does have something to do with the fact that I think he's a great broker, et cetera. But here's the deal.
Not to mention he deals the cat's with meow.
Yes, that's right.
Whatever that
but
is.
Here's the deal. He's the most skilled of anybody that I know right now in dealing with these types of setups and these types of forecasts. And he deals with several of our institutional customers and larger day traders and so on, and smaller ones as well. He knows how to put these things together. So if you really want to get the best advantage of this, your current broker may be a great guy and you can leave an account there, and he probably is a great guy. But he doesn't know how to put the stuff together with these types of setups. You now know something about gold. If you have a Birch Lichter, he can help you before we even come out with a roadmap. And many of you may not get the roadmap if you're not a subscriber and so on. And no one, you don't need to be. But if you weren't a subscriber, he would help you put this together just with the information that we gave out on the radio today. So I like that idea. I think it will help you to do that. He didn't ask me to say this. I'm saying this on my behalf because I think that some of these ideas can be used really efficiently or really good setups, and sometimes it's helpful to talk to somebody who knows a lot about having dealt with these. He's done, if you go through his emails, he's probably done hundreds of these, and so he knows what he's talking about putting roadmaps and super trades and whatnot into a tradable format, because I just gave you some ideas, but I didn't give you the specific trade yet. And we'll save that for our product, for Messenger Pro. But I wanted to give that idea out because I just really love the gold market, and I hope that it continues to be the market that it's been for the last decade here. I mean, it's just been a remarkable run and remarkably good volatility. It has its slow days, but it's up high, and things that are up high move, and that's a nice thing to trade. With regard to gold, normally we would look for a high on November 2nd, a top. So the market has rallied up here and is likely going to sell off a little bit before they go higher. So that's also something you may want to take a look at for your trading, depending on your time frame of what you're looking at. But that would be off of the daily. Okay, so I think that's enough about the gold. Okay, Dwayne, if you want to tell us about Facebook, go right ahead.
Gosh, you know, I didn't even look up any news on it today. I did.
I'm just playing.
I did notice that it was trading, I think, slightly higher today.
It actually shows down by 7 ticks, but it was slightly higher just a short while back because they closed yesterday at $21.11. They're trading at 21.04. This is real time. And this is a quiet day. So
yeah, I don't the big news yesterday was simply that on Monday, a lot of stock of additional stock became free trading stock. And then on November, I think it's 14th or 17th, another boatload of almost a billion shares. I think 777 million hit the market on the 14th. So that was the news yesterday, and that, you know, would understandably be a drag on the stock. This is where we gapped right here when the earnings were better than expected. Not that they were suddenly hugely profitable, but that they were losing less money than was thought. And the analyst had been kind enough to lower their expectations. So there was a beautiful gap up on the earnings here. And we talked about, well, will there be a carryover effect? You know, is this just a just a pop and a drop? Or can it hold? And so far, it has held right here at the 50-period moving average. We'll just have to see what happens as more and more shares become available. I think when the dilution is done through March, it will have added an additional $1.2 billion. And that has to be factored into the market cap. And all of these RSUs that employees had that they are now converting into free trading stock, a lot of the financial websites had not taken that into consideration previously when they were calculating what the float was. And so now they're being forced to because the conversion is taking place. And so it's really, it's not painting a great picture, but I also did read, now that you ask, they are about to move. They're going to try to eat Craigslist lunch. They're going to get into the classified advertising business, and they think they can do it far better than Craigslist because Facebook knows so much about you. They know your habits, where you live. They know where you had dinner last night because you gave it a 3-star review on Yelp. I mean, they know you. And so when you go to search the classified for a guy to come and hang the plasma TV on your wall, man, they can nail that guy down to somebody who believes the same way you do, eats at the same restaurants you eat at, drives the same kind of car. You follow what I'm saying? It could be it could be powerful. So Craig may start, you know, there actually was a Craig back in the day. I don't know if he's around anymore, but it started in Frisco. There was a Craig behind Craigslist, and Craig might need to start plotting his retirement at this point. So
maybe, perhaps,
we'll see.
Okay, so U.S. Treasury bonds.
I told.
I'm sorry.
I said you ask, and I just had to tell you.
There you are. No, I had cut you off yesterday, and I, you know, it's fair enough to give a little news.
At the
in there.
Knees, man, you cut me off at the knees. I was like,
sliced them down.
What did I do to this guy? Okay, it's, Treasury
bonds. I came back more in the mood to hear the name Zuckerberg. You can only hear that name so many times before you just have to say, listen, I cannot hear that name anymore.
Oh, gosh.
Okay, back to the U.S. Treasury bond market, very much like the gold market with the top. The Treasury bond market short-term has a top on the November 1st date as well, right in that same zone of November 1st, November 2nd that we're talking about for gold. So keep an eye on that. We don't talk much about trading in this market, but as I've mentioned so many times, it's a great time to take advantage of, you know, as bad as everything is, and think of all the terrible things that people had to go through to get out of their homes and all the families that broke up over this and God knows what happened in this housing crash. It's not good. But what it is a huge wealth transfer. I'm just calling it what it is. It's a huge wealth transfer, and here's how and why it is. Because a huge swath of people have, unfortunately, owned their homes during a period or bought homes during a period where many of them couldn't afford it to begin with. Have you noticed that many people that owned their homes 10 years before the whole run-up, they still have their home? They went through the whole thing up and down. Their whole life was already in the business of owning a home and had a job and other factors that were working for them to be able to pay it. They had savings for the rainy day and so on. A lot of the people who crashed were people who were relatively newer home buyers and were caught up in the whole. Now, this isn't the whole statement on it, but a lot of people were. And many of those people were not probably really appropriately financed internally. You know, they didn't have enough money to really carry through and have some for a rainy day and so on. And many of them ran just because the values went down, et cetera. Well, all of this combined, everything together, means that it allows a whole new wave of people. It's almost like nature burning down, as ugly this is, burning down a forest. And it allows all kinds of new life to begin there again, or a portion of the forest, and then start over. That's what's happened. That's what the housing crash did, is it wiped out a bunch of, unfortunately, people, and in some that to some degree or other, and it gave this opportunity to thousands of other people to just step in, and now they, in their turn, get to be at the bottom of a market that's going to go up. We're at the bottom. I don't care what your conspiracy is and what you believe and who you're listening on the internet to and what they've written a book about. They're wrong. The housing market has been in since October, and we won't see the prices we saw in October for 50 years. Okay? They're wrong. I'm right. Period. So if you want to take advantage, and I think you should if you have any possibility, you should take advantage of the housing market so that you can be somebody that got in if you were in a position to do so without putting yourself at undue risk because the prices are dramatically lower and you can ride the next bull wave however long it takes to go. It's already had a pretty good little pop, certainly out here in Las Vegas and in California as well, in certain parts of California and in other areas all over the, you know, we had one of our biggest construction in the United States, 5% increase or whatever in construction, which is a lot of new home construction. We're having that out here. But I wouldn't say what I'm saying to you right now to get anybody in any kind of financial trouble. I believe it absolutely, 100%. I'm acting on my own advice to you, and I'm telling you that this is an opportunity that we won't see again in real estate for a long time. There will be other opportunities. You don't have to take this one. There will be other opportunities in all kinds of different ways with real estate and so on. But with interest rates this low, with housing prices this low, even though they've rallied a little bit, there's a lot more coming on the upside. So take advantage of it. Go ahead, Dwayne.
I was going to say there's a video on YouTube. I know some of you have already seen it. It's when I walk through our first trade in this new world of real estate that we were confronted with, and that video is about 3 years old. We were doing a walkthrough of a condo we had just bought in a gated community. We bought two condos in a gated community for $40,000 and change. There were no finance.
Is this recent, Dwayne?
No, the video was 3 years ago.
Oh, okay.
So the bottom may have hit here in Phoenix actually a little sooner than it hit in some other areas because we ran up so high that when we imploded, we fell hard and we fell fast. And the condos in that gated community never really fell below the price that we paid. They have they've begun to appreciate now. So we were a little early. You might say we were a little early on the trade in time, mm-hmm. but as far as the price factor goes, we were just spot on with it because
That's beautiful. It's kind of a break-even trade that you still can trade up from your initial entry without having to worry. That happens sometimes in markets, and you were lucky to have that happen. Anyway, consider that. Every time I look at the bond market and every time I'm on the radio, I want to tell people this so that someone later will call me and say, well, I went out and I bought the darn house, and man, that was really good. Thanks, you know, because it is going to be really good. Okay, so
people will always need a place to live.
That's right, and then I can stay in your, you know, fourth bedroom or whatever in your new house. My daughter is looking for a house. You know, she's been sort of renting from her mom in a house that her mom owns. And she's out looking for the same reason, because I want her to try to take advantage of this it's different when you're a parent and you're telling your son or daughter this. I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but my daughter has really no interest in the markets. She has no interest. She knows, you know, she knows her dad is has the secrets of the universe and all that. You know, in her mind, that's her way of putting it. But she doesn't show. She doesn't really have the proclivity towards this. She has other proclivities, but. It's funny when it's very different between parents and children and or in day-to-day people that you meet and so on. And so she's not really that interested in markets. But a nice home is a wonderful thing for a family and for a woman or a man to have, a place that you can call your own and so on. And they're really, really reasonably priced right now. I mean, right now a $175,000 home is huge, is a wonderful home. A $250,000 home is a palace nowadays. Really, just a straight-up palace. So, check it out. I know you guys all know this. I just like to say it over and over again. So, I just get something out of that. You'll be thanking me later, I'm telling you. Okay, so Under Armour, I don't have much to add to Under Armour, really, except that there's, you know, the date, very much the same. They are, you know, right in the November 1st, October 31st range for a bottom. Nothing to really talk about, though, trading wise on this. We're not in it. We talked about the euro the other day, and we are going to have, for those of you who are interested in, the euro and trading in currencies, we're going to have another roadmap coming up, soon, a larger one. That will be on our Messenger Pro product. Every roadmap we're giving out, every super trade is all in that product now. So if you want to, you can. You don't have to buy. You can sign up for a free trial. I'll tell you on the radio program when we're coming out with it. You can go take a look at it and see for yourself. We'd like to have you as a subscriber. If you want all the roadmaps and all the super trades, like what we showed earlier, the two, 17-point or whatever they were moves, then, that's up to you. You know, I think they're useful and they can be very good. I actually love both styles of trading. I think Dwayne does as well. Both the short term, where I think there's many good opportunities in a week for very good short term trading, and also somewhat longer term, weekly, daily, daily, weekly, and in our case, sometimes even monthly and sometimes even quarterly setups. Just knowing about them doesn't mean you're going to trade the whole shooting match, like the whole, you're not going to be in it for 2 years or whatever, but you can be in it for quite some period of time and have a position working for you, and you'll be far ahead, I believe, from day traders in that one trade. If they were trading that same tradable in that two quarters of period, I think in most cases, your one position would be ahead of what most day traders would do. That's not to discount day trading, because we do it, we love it, we have a product for it as well. But the longer term has its, its real advantages as well. Okay, so in the euro, shorter term, we had a bottom we talked about for October 26th and October 29th, the Friday, Monday, for a move of $1.25 or 125 pips. They completed that yesterday on the upside. And the market closed relatively neutral yesterday. My feeling is if somebody were to ask me off the street, if they just came up to me off the street and said, what do you think of the euro? I think my answer would be, who are you? Somebody comes up to you and just asks you a question like that, you'd want to know who they are. That's what I'd answer.
Okay,
that's a little humor. I would say to them something like this. I'd like to see the euro actually still continue to move down a little bit from where we are. I'd like to see that. And I'd like to see the euro move towards the 128.50 level. That's what I'd like to see. Now, recently they just made a low of 128.87, so we're not that far off. But that's what I'd like to see. And then I would say to that person on the street, go to pagetrader.com and type in your email and password, and you can hear what it's going to do at that point. So that's a little scenario
Morning.
There.
Yeah,
I know. I just like I'm out of junior high here. I'm just
You're
mumbling along.
You're on a roll.
Okay, so we'll move past the euro. But this is interesting what they're doing. The euro has an interesting setup here that has a lot of potential. And then the crude oil, we talked about this. I don't have a lot to add anything to the crude, but I've mentioned before, it's not a forecast, but if I had my preference, I'd like to see a new low made in November. That means a new low below $84.66. So if we see that, will have something. There's still, it's still tradable as a practical thing for this larger move, but I would prefer to see that to make me, you know, make it a better trade and so on. We have a roadmap coming up in silver. Silver is one of the fastest markets that's out there. So I'm going to save that one for subscribers. So I'm just letting you know there is something you might want to take a look at, silver. We have something coming there. Tesla, the electric stock car company, the electric car company is doing nicely today. They had a nice move up. I'm glad to see that. I'm hoping this company continues on. I believe they will make it. And I've told friends who are long-term people just to buy the stock. And, you know, it's not really that technical that what we told them. It's just, we just think it's a, this company is going to do something. I think the people that are running it are brilliant and have proved that in many other ways in other endeavors, not just the main guy, but several of the people. Go take a look at the design of the Tesla car. This is their first product. And step back from that and tell me if that isn't one of the prettiest things you've ever seen on the road. And that's their first product. I mean, they had a product made from a Lotus car, which was a Lotus-bodied thing with their Tesla drivetrain, electric drivetrain. But, you know, that's a pretty good start, I would say, their first product. And it's not just that it looks beautiful, but it has, you know, it's a complete paradigm shift in electric cars, in the whole automobile industry. And they've caught the attention of Mercedes and Toyota. Toyota has a Toyota RAV4, which is an EV electric. If you're looking for a SUV that you need to carry stuff around in, there's an electric one now. They're selling 2,600 of them as a compliance vehicle to keep their emissions down in their whole fleet. Toyota and Tesla got together, and so you can basically have a Tesla drivetrain in a Toyota RAV4. It'll drive about 120 miles a day if you can get most of your driving done with that. Pure electric. Never use a drop of gasoline. The car will last three times as long as a regular car. The wheels will fall off before the drivetrain has a problem. So you might want to check that out. It's a little pricey, but you kind of, you know, that's, it's new technology, so you have to pay for it. It's $49,000 for a RAV4 with the electric powertrain, but you never pay a dime in gas, and you have virtually none of the maintenance of any kind on the motor. The motor is maintenance-free. The drivetrain is maintenance-free, period. And then there are some electrical inverters and other things that are under warranty, et cetera. And the battery is under warranty for 10 years as well.
Bert, okay. are you there by any chance?
Bert? Dwayne?
Yeah, hey. I had a question for you regarding Tesla, because I was just checking to see if there might be any news out regarding Tesla. And what I found was a page that tells me U.S. stock options with the biggest changes in implied volatility. And I know that's a language that you speak. And you can either have top volatility increases, which is a list, or top volatility decreases. And I'm trying to see which list Tesla. It looks like they're on the top volatility increase list.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at the option November 17th. Could you maybe break that into English? What that means, why they would go on this list? Is it a positive? Is it a negative? What's the deal?
They said the implied volatility is high.
It has increased.
Has increased.
It's on the list of U.S. stock options with the biggest change in implied volatility, and Tesla is on the volatility increase list, not the volatility decrease list.
Well, that's, generally speaking, what that does mean is that the daily fluctuations, the change in prices up and down, has probably grown such where now that the implied volatility, that's the premium that's built in the options right now, are greater than historical values. So, for example, let's say someone had an idea about going long Tesla, and you know they didn't really want to plunk down the $29 a share, and they wanted to buy options.
Okay.
Chances are, it wouldn't be such a great idea because they're buying something that's overvalued relative to historical prices. So the better trade on that would be to sell. Maybe puts in this example, because if that's what they're saying is correct,
the price of this option is $1.80.
Mm-hmm. And so they said implied volatility has grown.
Mm-hmm.
So chances are, if you looked at that versus historical volatility, where normally it would be, maybe it should only be worth, let's say, a buck. So you're buying an overvalued asset. Okay. Why are you doing that? Because the market has probably gone up, down, up, down, up, down. Probably the average true range, you know, the stock has really grown.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's a market making kind of market. So the guy who's selling those are saying, hey, you know what? I'm assuming a little bit more risk than I had to before. You're going to pay me more if you want participation.
Mm-hmm.
So bottom line is, when it says implied volatility is higher than normal, then that means the stock is probably trading abnormally, you know, back and forth, back and forth. From a strategy standpoint,
mm-hmm.
you wouldn't necessarily want to buy the option, because now you're buying it high, according, you know, against historical prices.
Right.
So the better strategy would be to take advantage of that and sell the premium, like David will often do. Well, he might sell puts in the stock,
okay.
or sell calls, because you're selling something that's at a higher level against historical premium.
Yeah, here's a way to clarify all that. If it touches $28 next week, buy it.
Okay,
that'll do. If this stock touches 28 or at or near 28, it doesn't have to be exactly 28, but if it gets close to $28 next week, just buy it. Because I expect it to close above that level, and if it did touch that, I expect higher prices after
and
that.
We're
so that's
at
a general
29.10 today, right?
29.11 right now.
Okay, so you're buying it to come down to 28 before you.
I am not forecasting it to, but I'm saying if it did,
okay.
I like that because
right.
Here's why. Because what Bert's saying is true, but no one can understand him. So,
come on.
What I'm saying is that we would want to now, since volatility is picking up in the upside direction, we would want to buy a pullback, and I like the idea that they would pull back into the 28 range. If they did that, I like that as a long entry point, especially if it's in the lower range of the 28, you know, from 28, 25 to lower. I like that for long position, and I would expect them to close decently next week if they did that. So it's an if-then type of proposition. If they do touch that, that's where I would like to hold it. And then I would want you to hold on and book some initial profits basically at the $30 range, roughly, and then hold the remainder of your position until the stock has gone up enough for you to buy one of their cars. How's that? No, just, you know, continue to hold it. That'd be one thing. But the options are another thing as well, you know, to sell put premium and so on under them. But this has been this stock has gone through a lot. There's been a lot of bad news, or not bad news so much, but bad, is it supposition? You know, people are thinking it's going to be bad. And I think those people are going to be wrong in the end, if you want to, you know, just put it in those simple terms. So, okay, so if you want to move on, Bert, anything else, or Dwayne, anything else about that?
No.
Okay. No, I was just curious because as I searched for news, I didn't really see news, but what I did see was the...
I'm just laughing at Jonathan.
What did Jonathan say?
Jonathan.
Let's see what Jonathan's got to say. Let's see. Dieter says tomorrow is the on-time day for a top in Tesla, reflected wave. Craig says,
okay.
What have they done to eliminate the risk of a battery fire that has been in the news many times? What happened with the A123 battery?
Okay. Let me answer those because I'm pretty familiar with all of it. A123 is the company that supplied batteries to Fisker's Karma car. The Karma is the really beautiful, long car that sort of is a imitation in many ways of the Chevy Volt with regard to its drivetrain. It has a gasoline engine up front, which is a generator that produces electricity, and then it has a battery that will go up to about 45 or 50 miles before the generator turns on. A123 Systems is the provider for the Fisker Karma's batteries, and they had improperly placed a certain number of those batteries in the car so that coolant, you know, water and electricity, coolant and electricity would get near it, and it could cause a problem. And then they did have, Karma did have a fire that started from a faulty fan in the left front corner of the car a few months back, et cetera. The Chevy Volt has virtually, I mean, listen, there are 211,000 gasoline car fires per year. Okay, there have been zero electric car fires per year, and clearly there's a lot less electric cars out there. Anytime you're carrying energy with you in the form of electricity or gasoline, and gasoline has 10 times the amount of energy density that these batteries do nowadays. So gasoline, and you know, gasoline is very safe. I don't want anybody to worry about that, but you know, there are lots of gasoline fires as well. But in general, there have really been no injuries. They did have an issue. The Chevy Volt did have an issue where if the car flipped and a certain number of exact things happened, that coolant, again, liquid near the battery, could get near it and it could short and cause a fire. And that's what happened. And then that has been repaired. A recall, and everybody's had that done on their car. It's a very simple fix for people. So I think, I don't know if I was answering everything there, but A123 systems doesn't have anything to do with Tesla, and A123 system doesn't have anything to do with the Volt. It has to do with primarily the Fisker Karma. So Tesla, you know, they have their own patent. Their own patented motor and design. They've got over 100 patents, believe it or not. Think about that. Think about having an idea that's patentable. They have 100 of them, Tesla, and that they're in the process of having patented. These are good ideas, good enough that Mercedes is using their powertrain, Tesla is selling their powertrain to Toyota. You know, they have good stuff going on there, and these things all have their inherent risks in them, like anything else, you know. But they do run real well. And you're going to love them. So, all right. We were talking about corn the other day. I'll just move right on here. I don't have anything to add to corn. Corn today is still trading, you know, up at the $7.54. We're still in this trade, and we're waiting to see if the market, you know, gives us a continued move up. We have our stop at 7:31. And we don't have any new thing to add to that. So I think for today, I don't think there's much else that we have to add. Somebody wants
the beans.
I will get to that. Somebody once asked us about. I just want to say this real quick, Bert. That somebody asked us a long time ago or somewhere about a stock called Green Mountain Coffee Roasters.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know who that was, but somebody did, and it's a low price stock, and it's trading at $26. It's going to go up and touch $31.19 next month. If you want to, you can make a few bucks and buy that. So there's
now, they
that.
They were in some kind of a big lawsuit, if I'm not mistaken, with Starbucks. And
Oh, really?
I read it, and I made a mental note to remember whatever it was that I read. And
that was pretty good.
So much
because
for
we haven't talked about this.
Notes. Yep. And I don't remember exactly what the terms of that. Does anybody in the audience, maybe the person that actually or that originally asked the question? Now, there was a comment that from Just, Tesla reports earnings on November 5th, and he believes that's the reason that there is an increase in volatility.
That's probably exactly correct.
Yeah. Yep.
That's probably exactly what it is.
Yep. And James had a question for David. Is the T-bond top a daily or a weekly top?
I believe it's daily, just a shorter-term thing.
Okay.
But if you putting aside techniques and stuff, and yes, I think it's daily, the government is saying that they're going to buy zillions and zillions of bonds and that they're continuing to do so, and that's going to keep interest rates low and all that stuff. I wouldn't rely real heavily on the government's representation that the market is going to stay up high for a long time because they're going to do that. It may well do so, but the government doesn't have a really good track record, period. You know, I was going to say in such and such, but period. They don't have a real good track record. They are spending a lot of money apparently on it. I don't know the details of it. I just like the idea of getting in, taking advantage of the low interest rate sooner rather than later, because they may not be here. Do your best to get in it when you can, meaning taking advantage of it, but don't put yourself in an undue, you know, an un, a uncomfortable position for yourself in doing so. It's just a great opportunity. But speaking about that, let me flip over there and just double check with you. This is just a shorter term top that we're talking about, because there's a right around the beginning of November here, there's quite a few markets that are that have turning points that are due. So anybody with reflected wave would know this, but the top is the daily, not weekly. So, and this market is sort of wedging down sideways here. This is tradable, but it's not something that I would put a long term position on right now. You know, like something where you're holding puts or calls or whatever for a long period of time. I would trade it short term if that's what you're interested in doing.
You know, and I'm reading a comment here on Tesla from one of my fellow bloggers over at The Fool. Tesla is a bold and risky bet. One cannot ignore the challenges and competition that the company faces as it attempts to do the near impossible and break into the heavily capitalized auto industry. What Elon Musk is attempting to do will take a near miracle to succeed. However, with the beautiful design they have, the elite perception in the marketplace, and enthusiastic customers they have already attained, I truly believe they have a fighting chance. If Tesla makes it through without having to recapitalize and dilute existing shareholders, which is a very real risk at the moment, this stock has the potential to be a multi-bagger. At worst, they have a brand that another company would love to own and some really great technology. I'd be proud to say I own both the stock and the car, and I have a buy order in at lower prices right now. And he's referring, or she's referring, to the stock and not the car, about having buy order in, I'm assuming. Because I don't think the price of the car is...
Wow, a girl that likes electric cars. I'd like to know her.
Yeah, what's her name? Margie. Yeah.
Oh.
Margie likes that car. And she does comment in her article about the new paradigm, and that is that NRG is putting in these fueling stations across the country. Tesla will be setting up their own charging stations for Model S owners, so you can charge for free at any of the stations. They also have a goal, maybe she does have a buy order on the car, they also have a goal to bring the price down for the Model S to the $30,000 range within 3 years.
Wow.
She says free fuel from Tesla has a way of rapidly cutting through any paradigm shift. I mean, when you go from cheap fuel to free fuel, that's, well, free's a good price.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, free's a good price. Okay, so I think, Duane, I think that's everything we have for today. Tomorrow's Friday. We have a lot of interesting things. I think everybody who's watching the markets probably senses there's a lot of interesting things going on in the S&P right now. The euro, certainly, crude and gold. There's a lot of stuff that's lining up for some end-of-the-year trades.
Francine wants to know if you have any thoughts on Baidu. I have to run as well, but
okay.
Baidu came down. Does David like it here?
Okay, let me switch over to that. I remember we have that somewhere, and so let me go find it real
quick.
Yeah,
what it's doing. BIDU.
If you'll take I'm going to take a minute in finding it.
It had a big gap down. I say big. It was $113 stock. It got whacked to $107. So.
Okay.
Swing low across here, guys, right there. You can just see it. It's clear as day. That's where your support level is, and you got the 50 overhead and falling. Chance for it to rally back up here, hit the 50, and close the gap. So I don't know what the fundamentals are behind this. Today, let's see.
Oh, here we are. I do see. Okay,
for Baidu,
so I see
Dieter says today is the on-time low for a daily reflected wave in Baidu.
Okay, and we want to be careful, and we want to know what the largest time frame that's operative here. But let me say this about this stock. This is general, but it might be of help to who asked the question.
Dieter.
Okay. I
assume
think I
that's
Dieter.
One of your guys. That may just be a screen name, perhaps.
No, that's, I think, his name. What I'll tell you is this, that let's wait until next week for this stock. You've heard me say this before, and I know this sounds like a broken record, but if they do make a new low next week, then I'd be interested in potentially taking advantage. I think a woman had asked the question about it. It gapped down, and is this buying territory? It's potentially buying territory, but I would wait, since this is Thursday, this is just me, I would wait until next week for this thing to show its hand. I would like to see, the ideal thing would be for them to make a new low next week, a new low meaning below this week's low, below 105.38. If they do that next week, then I'll have something to say about this, and I'd be very happy to give you whatever information we can on where this thing would go. As it sits right now, because we're close to the end of the week, my just naturally cautious self, I will just wait until next week before acting on this. Okay? Because a lot of times, if there is a good signal here, and even if it comes early and it starts to move up, just like what we did today in the S&P, we had the forecast for the move up to from 01 up to 18. Well, this morning the market was up at 12, and many people would say, well, that's too late to buy. I mean, the thing I hear all the time from people is, well, it's already up 10 points or 12 points. I can't buy it here.
Right.
But if there is some larger thing that's in play that means that the market needs to go even higher, that can be a really great place to buy. We've talked about this on the program before, and often those places are the easiest trades to take. In other words, the move's already underway. How many times have I said this? You know, I prefer making less money with more certainty. And more certainty means there's already been some confirmation of the setup. The move may already be underway. A lot of times it's uncomfortable, and sometimes it's very comfortable. But a lot of people won't buy it in that same spot because it's already up too much. But it really means business. It has business even higher, and you end up in a pretty easy trade. It doesn't have the kind of torture it does on some of the other trades where you're trying to get in at the very edges of a move. And sometimes you can do that as well. Everybody has the market's very fair with how it gives out all these different setups and trades. And if you're watching and observing and can take on some risk, you can be in a lot of different kinds of trades. But one of the ones that I really like is when some confirmation has already happened. If that whole thing were to occur into next week where they put the thing in 1 week early here, then fair enough. We can still get in and do something here, or you can. But if they do make a new low next week for BIDU, then I would be very interested in talking about it. So give me until Monday. Let's see what they do Monday or Tuesday of next week, and we'll put something together on it.
All righty.
So that'd be good. Well, thank you very much for listening, and thanks for the questions. And I will be here with you, Duane, tomorrow.
Okay.
And I'm looking forward to next week when the elections occur.
Yeah.
What am I looking forward to happening again? Oh, that's right. Mitt Romney being president.
Rasmussen says that last week, their polls said that Romney had a comfortable 4-point lead, and today their polls say that's been whacked to 2 points. So we'll see.
Oh, okay.
We'll see what happens. Just go vote, guys, and make your neighbor go vote. I mean, whatever vote you're going to cast, it's important that you play a part. And we still have free elections, and I know we could argue about that. But, I mean, you're going to moan and groan for the next 4 years. You got to pay your price of admission. You got to get up. You got to go vote so that you have the right to complain no matter who wins. Because no matter who wins,
good.
You're going to complain.
That's good.
So
I like that. You don't have the right to complain unless you go vote.
Mm-hmm. Okay, David.
That's
have
it. That's the stuff. Okay.
Afternoon.
Thank you all. Dwayne, I'll see you guys tomorrow. Thanks, Bert. And, we wanted to have Robin give her – I'm sorry. She asked us to remember, and we didn't. So
are
now we remembered.
There?
Robin?
She typed in. She had to step away.
Okay.
All right. So I've got to run because I've got
we'll
a meeting.
Tomorrow.
So we'll see you tomorrow.
Okay. Thanks again, everyone.
All right.
See you then.
I didn't notice what time it was.
Guys, that really is going to do it for me. I'd love to hang around and chat, chew the fat, and go over some charts, but today I don't have the luxury of being able to do that. I must simply bid you adieu. Thanks so much for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Dwayne Reeves, his co-hosts, and guests. To learn more about trading e-mini futures or to take a one-week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decisions.